Welcome back, everybody, to yet another episode
of We're Not Fine.
We kind of did that together.
We did. Yeah. In unison. We finish each other's
sandwiches.
Thank you. Finally, high five. We've been working on that a while.
Yeah.
Doug and I are lucky enough to have been wandering around today at the Bryn Mawr Festival of Garage Sales. First Saturday in May. This might feel a little outdated by the time.
I don't even know, but it was really good. And the best part, first of all, I'm not a garage sale person because I kind of had to do that growing up and I'm resistant to it. However, reusing is, of course, a really good idea. But the biggest thing was there was an amazing burger that I got.
Oh my God, it was so,
and I ate it in like a minute.
I had a foot long corn dog. I'm not sure I would have eaten the entire thing had you not been waiting so long in your hot dog, no, your line for burgers. And then we got boba. It was really good.
And some fries.
I think we're both in a bit of like a food coma right now.
Ooh, but it was good. I feel actually a little bit better.
We were a little off our game this morning.
Yeah, we do a few recordings at a time, and I definitely was off my game, but we were, you know.
Doug had one eye looking up at the ceiling and one eye looking down.
But you know what I really think?
And now he's talking to the ghost behind me.
Anyway, so this topic, though.
Yes.
It's not really all that related to any of this, because... You're going to find a way to
You
it?
Walked in this morning with a hidden disability. Self-imposed.
I did. What do you think?
Essentially, it's when...
I forgot that trick.
To out yourself with your hidden disabilities, or as some people call them, invisibilities, when you're dating in the dating world. Like, do you maybe have a little bit of ADHD? Are you on the spectrum? Do you have OCD? Or maybe it's like you've had terrible bouts of depression. Maybe there's trauma. Maybe it's an autoimmune disorder.
Yeah. You know what else? What else kind of comes up for me? We're using the term disability in this regard, but the reality is I kind of want to expand it to other things. Like, at what point do you disclose a sexually transmitted illness, or at what point to disclose that you have a manageable illness? I just think there's a lot of different categories here. They're not all about disabilities, because depression, and that's why, you know, this is going to be about some mental health stuff, but the truth is not all of them are disabling.
So, that's exactly right.
Right.
And also, we don't want to be focusing on the parts that are maybe more of a struggle when there are so many positive pieces to every person.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we're going to dive in. Read it.
I'm going to read this.
I think you should read it if that's okay with you.
My smash burger that I should.
I know, you do look a lot peppier.
That burger was good.
I think maybe you had like no blood platelets.
You know, I think what they did is they had these little skinny fried onions.
Oh God. Is that why you look so fresh?
Ooh, it was good. And we have fries, but I'm not eating those.
Oh, I'm so full.
Okay.
All right.
I'm curious. This writer writes, I bet they read too, but we can't make that assumption.
You're not quite there, but you're almost there.
I'm curious to learn how you feel about disclosing mental health / invisible disabilities in dating. I know I don't have to reveal that I am ADHD autistic on the first date, but when should I? Where's the fine line between having boundaries and what some might consider deception? It has to come up at some point. More importantly, I don't wish to waste my time on ableists, vaccine conspiracy nuts, and ADHD deniers.
I love this person.
I would much rather state neurodivergent on my Grindr profile. Mm-hmm. I know nothing about Grindr. Are you familiar?
No, I don't hear it dinging every 30 seconds while we're recording.
And be done with it. But then I'm greatly reducing an already small dating pool and risk my making my dating experience about answering rude and intrusive questions. Such a great question.
Okay, I love this.
I also love how it's worded.
At first, my first thought is reduce that dating pool. Who cares? Put yourself out there.
Yep.
I totally agree. Yeah. You don't need the people who aren't going to be into it. I feel like there are enough people in the world that are emotionally intelligent. They've done their work. They've met enough people. They understand what it might look like to have ADHD, be on the spectrum, or ADHD, that are combination autism and being on the spectrum. And that's only like one little part. We're talking about neurodivergence and dating. Like, how do you divulge? But yeah, Doug and I will deep dive into all of it. But I also feel like, okay, so I'm not in the dating world, but I feel like whenever I meet people, I will throw out a little pebble about the way my brain works, about the way I am in the world, because ADHD is a big part of my personality.
If Did you do that for me before we started this podcast?
No, because I wasn't. It was deception and catfishing, because I got diagnosed after we started the podcast. And then it's all I ever wanted to talk about. And then I realized that my personality is 93% ADHD.
Right.
This particular one was a Reddit. And the reason why I'm mentioning it is because there are some really cute responses. But the idea is you can ask 500 people when you should bring something up on a date, first date, never, and you're going to get different responses. And so these were the cute responses to that letter. I told my partner on the second date, he said he already knew because I spent the first date arranging everything on the table at right angles, which I thought was so
cute. Can definitely be OCD.
Yes, it could totally be OCD. It could be a little like on the spectrum. Yep. It could be, you know, but it's so sweet because sometimes we'll be like, I have something to disclose. And then your person's like, yeah, I got that from the beginning. The second one is, I found it easiest not to hide it, but also not label myself as neurodivergent before meeting someone, because some people do have really stupid preconceived ideas. Once I told this older woman the first time I met her, and after that, she only spoke to me very slowly. Right? People are so stupid. Not everyone, just some. Once people have met you, I don't think it's going to be a problem. Like, if I've done something weird or quirky and been like, ha ha, sorry, it's my ADHD, no one has ever had a problem with that. So there's another, like, that's a completely different way of looking at it, of like, keep your options wide open. And then when you meet someone, just lightly put it out there as like a part of who you are. And then your personality can speak for itself.
It's so interesting because I would start out by saying everybody has something, right? Like everybody has stuff about their family of origin. Everybody has stuff about how they do relationships. There's no perfect human being that's healthy all the time. And so the reality is everybody brings something to that table of dating. And it's important to recognize that it's not just going to be one person at a time. I mean,
and also you might be a little too neurotypical.
Well,
right?
So when I think about a first date, I am someone who believes, and I have done this and I practice what I preach. I'm someone who kind of gets it all out there. Like, I ask questions. And as a therapist, after 30 years, I don't do well with small talk. I don't do well with, like, you know, not the.
Please.
I schmooze. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Is that, I got you.
Yeah, you're
We're going to go schmooze. But I'm also going to say that on a date, like, I might have a date later today.
Yes.
And I have already.
So cute. Not that he's shown me pictures.
Oh my God, he's cute.
I've only seen some of the pictures, not all the pictures.
And he's crazy playful and sweet and communicative, and I'm not in love. And I'm,
Okay, I'll wait.
Everyone I've showed his picture to wants a thruple now. Anyway, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, me included.
But here's what I would say. Like, get everything out there. And I think it's okay to ask questions. Like, I think I have a couple clients who have asked people on the first date, have you been in therapy before?
Yeah.
Because it's one of their deal breakers. Like, you have to know yourself, which kind of brings me to the point of this particular question. Like, I think if that person knows themselves and if they've done some work on themselves, they're going to be probably okay with a lot of things. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I could date someone with probably any of these things that we're talking about.
You know what I might add on to this is it's different to say, this is what I'm working with and I have absolutely no interest in managing it to make it easier to be in a relationship with me. Like, there are, I work with so many couples where one person has ADHD, and it's a huge difference to be in a relationship with someone who has ADHD, but they have no interest in managing it. And that's really hard to be in a relationship with. But if you're somebody who's like, yeah, you know what? I'm on the spectrum. It's hard for me to maybe read social cues. It's hard for me to always know how to talk about feelings, but that's something, like, I care about you, like, can we work on this together? Or if you have ADHD, just be like, yeah, I want to take care of that. There are certain parts where I wouldn't trade my brain for anyone else's brain in the world, but I do a lot of work managing it so that I'm not a pain in the ass in my marriage. And so I can like parent in a consistent way.
Well, and it's an interesting thing because everybody's different too. So when I think about, and I'm not an ADHD denier by any stretch of the imagination.
I don't like where you're going with this. What are you going to say?
I'm going to say that the amount of social media, particularly TikTok, where people are kind of coming in and saying, I have ADHD because this person on TikTok said I did.
Just don't want people self-diagnosing.
I don't want people self-diagnosing, and it might be accurate to self-diagnose. Like, it's okay to say I struggle with this. Like, I have some
OCD. Like, I resonate with this. This is me.
I have some obsessive compulsive tendencies, right? So my people that know I have this joke that they turn some things around on my shelf in my office to see how long it'll be. And I literally will feel something wrong and I'll be like, what's going on? There's something off.
And I've always thought that there is some like the shadow. I don't know which one's worse, OCD or ADHD, but there's something like two sides of the same coin of like overcorrecting an internal chaos with organization and systems and everything has. You know, when I'm unwell, I get real rigid about the structure and the
really? Rules. I haven't noticed. So the other thing that happened though, I was on kind of a date. And the person is in this field as well.
I thought you were going to say the person was in this room.
The person is now currently in this room. So the thing that I'm struck by is though, he said, you have ADHD. Do you know that? I said, no, I don't. And he said, yes, you do. And I said, why? And he goes, cause you're rocking your leg. And I'm like, that is not what that is. Like, that is a way too simplistic of thing. Like sometimes I'm like, I had too much caffeine or I had an energy drink or I just worked out or.
Yeah, you do. I have a lot of energy.
I do have a lot of energy.
But there is something about like there is an ADHD vibe is when someone is sort of like crawling out of their skin or it feels like they've got this motor that's moving so fast, but sitting still can be kind of painful.
There's so many ways that this shows up, by the way. You know, so I think that's why there's the nuances of the spectrum. You know, we're not identifying necessarily some specifics like the Asperger's diagnosis is now gone from the diagnostic manual and it's talking about autistic. Yeah, autism. Absolutely. So, you know, we had a lot of different ways that this shows up. And I want to say, going back to the specific question, I want to ask what your deal breakers are too, because I think there's a point at which I think that it's really empowering to remember you're going into this like anyone else. And we all have a list of things that we're looking for. We have a list of things that we're not looking for. And I will say that physical and emotional chemistry is much more important to me than a diagnosis. But part of that is that I'm a therapist. And so I feel like I can manage that stuff. And I know.
As long as they're managing. I'm back to the fact
that's a really good point.
Like, they have to be managing whatever it is.
For sure. And they have to be healthy about that.
Yeah, they have to be healthy.
Yeah. So I think there's a part of it that, you know, I appreciate also. I want to go to your common boat grinder, actually. And it's really no secret that I periodically go on that app.
Like every 30 seconds to 80 seconds. There he goes. You don't have ADHD at all. I have 20 things on my list of why Doug has ADHD, but your knee tapping isn't one of them.
So, but what I would say about this is on that app and any app, so whether it's Tinder or Grindr or any of them.
Is OkCupid still a thing?
I don't know if it is, but you know, whatever the app is, whatever you're looking for, here's what I want to say. Like, it's really easy to go through these apps and these really, really brief, unsubstantial profiles and make quick judgments. So I would be a little concerned about you saying I'm on the spectrum. You can if you want, but there's a point at which I don't know that that's necessary because your work that you're doing is, I do have OCD.
You mean ADHD?
No.
did you have to do it thrice?
But here's the deal. So, and we all have to do this differently. If it helps you to get it out there, that's okay. I actually do find myself very clear on some things up front. Like, there are going to be deal breakers for me at this point that are
in your profile or on the first date.
My profile is interesting because I think I'm very direct and I have definite responses to it, but I come off as very confident.
Right. But it's like, we're not for everybody. That's why I feel like you should limit your dating pool.
I love that you said that because I did write down, like,
Talia is always right.
Talia has no idea what she's talking about when it comes to any dating or relationships.
She hasn't gone on a date since she was 20.
But, you know, what are your deal breakers, et cetera? Like, be really clear on what you're looking for. And I think that narrows the pool automatically. And I do have a specific type that I look for example, but that has nothing to do with mental health, but I'm not afraid of mental health. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you that I think the bottom line, though, is, you know, even if it's a really, really tough diagnosis, and I'll pick bipolar, it's one of those things where if you're managing it and you're treating it and you know what, how it shows up, yeah, and you know what your tendencies and patterns are, I'm not worried about that.
And that's why it's like when you were talking about how, you know, when you go on dates or when people are saying, like, are you in therapy?
Yep.
I feel like there is something so immediately reassuring about somebody who knows themselves and has done some work.
I agree. What's interesting is even as I go into this evening.
Yeah, tell me.
Like, it's kind of interesting.
Are you
going,
like, to tell him about me? Going to mostly talk about
me? So, you know what's funny is this guy has no idea what I do for a living.
Because it could be anything.
Because I specifically do not tell people what I do.
You could say you're a volunteer firefighter because that's hot. All gay men love volunteer firefighters.
But what you're talking about is being dishonest.
Good point.
And that's not a really great quality to do. So
no, you're right.
Don't listen to Talia's
advice. No, don't listen to me. And there's also, like, what do we put out there in the profile? And I would say this is your chance to rule, like, weed people out. That doesn't mean you have to be provocative in a, like, fuck everyone who this or that. Like, you're going to weed people out. But then I say, let your personality speak for itself when you meet them in person. And if you are neurospicy or you do have bipolar.
Did you say neurospicy?
I did. Mm. Or if there's something, be proud to put out there that you're definitely somebody who deserves love and belonging. And it's also your chance to show self-esteem and confidence, no matter what it is. Like, I feel like, remember Gracie Kanan, the gorgeous New York comedian who she did, I don't remember if it was last spring or the spring before, but it was like manic season. And she was talking about her bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
You can have absolutely any disorder and talk about it with self-love and self-understanding. And that's all it needs to be. You don't need to be someone who doesn't have a single struggle in your life to find a wonderful partner.
In fact, that's not really interesting, nor is it realistic. Mm-mm. Like, even when we're young, we don't have a perfect kind of profile or dating experience. We're all coming with something. We all have baggage. We all have stuff. And you have to find that right fit. I think the question, though, is really how quick do you disclose stuff? And if we're talking about mental health in particular, I mean, there's other stuff. Like you said, the autoimmune disease, all those sorts of things.
The invisible.
Absolutely. Like, I think there's a part where all of those issues could come up. Like, I think about even like, what am I thinking about? Like, when your blood sugar is low, right? Like
hypoglycemia.
Yeah, like when you're
diabetes.
You went pretty extreme on that.
I did.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think even those sorts of things, like if something could come up during the date, it's okay to say, so I'm feeling a little lightheaded.
Right.
I do deal with this issue.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Or that's beautiful. Oh my God. And you might even, if you're going into dating and it's been a while and you're a little concerned, like let's say it is rheumatoid arthritis, or let's say it is blood sugar, or let's say it is something.
Which RA can be so painful.
So painful. And you may or may not have an issue at this date, but it probably is causing you a lot of anxiety to think about what could happen. And just like, to how do you try to, you know, feel confident, be prepared, leave a little time. I don't know if it's something, I mean, like sometimes when you have RA or like an autoimmune, you don't even know if you're going to, chronic illness, right? Like you don't even know if you're going to feel up
Crohn's
to
disease,
it.
Any yes. of those things. Yep.
And so like, how do you prepare for the date, not knowing exactly how you're going to feel or if you have really like high highs and low lows? And
I'm also having a reaction, I guess, to the idea that if somebody sat down with me and said, just FYI,
yep,
I have this going on and this going on and this going on.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, can I just like say hi?
Right.
Like it like might feel like too like, much of a flood. Like
you're probably not going to want to be with me because of these five things.
That would be a big turnoff for me.
Yes. But what you're saying is the things themselves, the struggles are not the turnoff.
Right.
It's the approach to being like, these are the three most important things about me.
Yep.
all the ways I struggle or all these illnesses. Okay, but here's the flip side is it probably takes up a large part of somebody's headspace. Like even ADHD, I wouldn't even call my ADHD debilitating right now.
Yep.
However, I think about it in the way that I think about things, the way I process things, the way I forget things, the way I like struggle with follow through, the way I ping pong from idea to idea, the way I like, I mean, it's like, it takes up a lot of headspace for me. It feels like an important part.
Well, and I don't want to put this in. Yeah, I appreciate that. So I don't want to compare this at all in reality, but you know, I don't do well with gluten. I really don't do well with sugar. And so I'm probably not going to order a sugary dessert at the end of the day.
But does that require self-disclosure? Maybe.
I just ate a burger.
How are you doing?
Great.
For now.
But I think I'm going to fall apart.
I know. We've got to talk fast.
And then I had french fries too. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it's going to be something. But I was so hungry.
I know you were.
And that food truck, by the way. Oh my God, it was so good. Anyway. But long. So here's what I want to say. Like I would probably nonchalantly share things as well because I have no fear about what I have. Right. So,
well, and also I don't think you're afraid of
judgment.
Weeding people out.
I'm zero
like,
afraid.
That's fine.
I literally was talking to somebody and he's like, I have a rule. No kids. I'm like, well, I have two. Adios, muchacho.
Are you sure he didn't mean like 3 and 5 years old?
I don't really care.
You just walked out.
I thought that was really insensitive.
You took his cocktail and walked out. Yeah, not for you. I also just kind of want to put out there that you are amazing. Don't let these things scare you. Put yourself out there. There's somebody for everybody. You just have to make sure that you're managing whatever it is that makes things challenging to the best of your ability.
Can I also say?
No.
That's I'm going it. To anyway.
And close.
That there is a show on Netflix called Love on the Spectrum, and we've been watching it.
Oh, my God.
And
but we haven't talked about it yet. I love it so much. I haven't watched the latest season.
Does anyone know how often she interrupts me and what that symptom is?
I have to talk about ADHD because it's a big part of my personality.
So anyway, I brought up the show.
Oh, my God.
Because it's a really fascinating show, and it shows kind of how these people with who are on the spectrum, mm-hmm. how they disclose what they put out there. You know, one of them went on a speed dating experience. It was fascinating because amazing. He matched with the other person on the spectrum only.
I thought they were
that?
All on the spectrum.
No, not in that particular one. I might be ahead of you because I switched around seasons. So someone on speed dating, there was only one other person on the spectrum. He put three people down. He got the person
and precious.
It didn't work out, unfortunately, but you know.
No, but even just watching the way you figure out how you feel about somebody or if it's a good fit and the advice that people were giving him about how to know if you like them, it was very precious.
I'm kind of struggling, I think, overall in this conversation too, about the overall sense that people are judging something that you have no control over, right?
And then they're not the person for you. Why I feel like you weed them out.
I find that troubling.
I know. But that's a lot of people are judgy and they only want a certain type of person. They're not your person.
So everyone's different about this too. And I think, you know, it's kind of interesting that someone wrote in response to this on Reddit, they wrote that, you know, the person was already aware that they had something. And I think people would know quickly who I am too, based on my energy level. And I've been asked if I was...
traits of certain personality disorders.
I was asked by someone recently if I was on meth. And I said, can you tell me why you think that? And he said, your energy is like way over the top high. And I'm like, yeah, it always is.
Were you like pumping iron and doing your taxes all at the same time when you were talking to them?
No. In fact, anyway.
Anyway. No,
I wasn't doing that at the moment. I was actually at a bar and I think I was just, I get really loud.
Yes. Yes. You are a lot unapologetically, and that's wonderful for some.
Which, by the way, makes it hard to be with me, I think.
For some, not all.
Yeah. I had this conversation with a friend recently, and the truth of the matter is I'm not everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah, neither am I.
But
it's weird. You guys, thank you. We hope you got some value out of this particular episode. And if there's anyone you think could benefit from it, send this to them. If you like us, we like you. Like and rate and review and give us all the stars.
And go to wearenotfine.com if you have any questions whatsoever that you want us to answer on here. If you have a dilemma, if you have a question, mm-hmm. if you have a circumstance, if you have a secret that you want to share with us without putting your name on there, we would be delighted to talk about
it. Wait, no one sent us a secret. Can that be a new thing? Tell us secrets.
So you know what's funny is, and I think I shared this with you in grad school, one of my professors, and he was trying to get us, you know, prepared for what it would be like to disclose things that you haven't told anybody else in therapy. So he had us write a paper and he said, I want you to write a paper and tell me something that you've not told anyone you've done in your life, something that happened. And we all looked around the room like, nope.
That's hilarious.
But it was such a great assignment because it really brought up the idea of like being able to disclose something that might otherwise feel like a shaming or embarrassing. It's vulnerable. The truth of the matter is, related to this guy, et cetera, be proud of who you are.
It's vulnerable, but vulnerability is the key to intimacy and a deep, real relationship.
Wow, you're profound.
Mic drop. We're also on social media. Douglas L. Jensen with an E-N, D-R. Talia Jackson, and We're Not Fine Pod. And TikTok, We're Not Fine. YouTube, you got to check us out on YouTube.
On the tube.
Did you know that Doug has sleeves? And if you don't know what that means, you'll just have to check him out on YouTube.
I'm only a quarter into one of them. It's coming.
Oedipus?
Poseidopus.
Poseidopus. That's right.
Just remember this.
Love you guys.
All right. Take care.
This podcast represents the opinions of our hosts and guests. The content here should not be taken as medical advice and is for informational purposes only. This podcast also does not establish a standard of care, doctor-patient, or client relationship. No guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made on the podcast or website, and because each person is so unique, all listeners are encouraged to connect with counseling and medical professionals for assistance with their personal journey. All people, places, and scenarios mentioned in the podcast have been changed to protect the privacy of those involved.